With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? That's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, things.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know, ah!
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
I bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man.
Why are you laughing, bro?
I just realized it's 2:04. Well, it's a five-hour show, Bo. So
we can take a few minutes.
We like to take as much time as we can on somebody else's dime.
They could have started. They could have went till 3, if you ask me. I would have been fine.
Squid is so hot right now under the collar. His face is purple. Look, so we got 4 hours and 54 minutes to create our special blend of radio magic.
You should have seen him. He's like, "Are we doing a four-person show today? What's going on?"
Get him off there.
All right. Well, we are on. Bo Morgan producing the show. Bo, what's up, man? How you
doing? I got a job to do. My job is not to produce Rick and John and Mike and Carl. It's Dukes and Bell.
Yeah,
and
you're right about that.
They're taking our time. My time now.
I don't want anybody taking my time. Craig behind the glass, our engineer. Mike Bell, there is so much stuff going on today.
Mm-hmm.
We're making fun of how much time we've got. This is another day where we could possibly need 5 or 6 hours.
Right.
Or 6 or 7 maybe to get through all of this stuff. We will do it within the course of our time span, guys. We're not going to go any longer. They won't pay us more. But here's the deal. As we start today, the Falcons have hired a senior assistant, and I think this is a good move by Dan Quinn. And we're going to start here, but there's so much football news going on, and we really haven't even hit officially free agency yet. That doesn't happen until March.
Right.
But you just heard Rick mention the Browns signed Kareem Hunt. Remember, he was released by the Chiefs in November. The big question there was who would take a chance on him and how soon would it be? Would he have to sit out another half season before a team rolled the dice on him?
Well, he may well have to sit out for 8-10 games, right, by Roger Goodell as he doles out the discipline. We'll find out. But you got a guy in Chubb, and as you said to Rick and John, I mean, on first blush, you go, well, that makes no sense. But now they could trade Duke Johnson or just simply release him. But they've got a guy in Kareem Hunt that once he does pay his penance to Roger Goodell in the NFL, you got the most dynamic running back combinations in the league. That's pretty impressive. You
throw
that with Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry. They got young wide receiver core. That's very impressive. So the Browns are starting to do some interesting things. Now, you'll take some heat, but in a football crazy city like Cleveland, the PR mess will not be anything close to what it would be in other cities.
I agree.
About Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, and Freddie Kitchens is the new coach, obviously the OC there. We saw what he did against us in his first official game of calling plays. He will use Kareem Hunt in so many different ways once they get him on the field. And Mike said it. We don't know when that's going to be. As far as our Falcons are concerned, Mike, what do you think of this Bob Sutton hire? For those who don't remember, Sutton was the Chiefs' defensive coordinator. They lose in the playoffs to New England. He gets gut. And now he's been hired by Dan Quinn to fill a key assistance role. He is a guy that now is going to help with in-game strategy, clock management, timeout usage, the replay review. And, Mike, I also think, this is just my personal opinion, you bring another guy who knows defense into the building.
Right, so we got a lot of guys, tons and tons of experience between, Cutter and Malarkey. You know, even Raheem Morris is still on the staff, had been a head coach before. Now Sutton, that defense just fell apart as the Patriots, they couldn't get him off the field in that AFC Championship game. But don't hold that against him. Take the body of the man's career. But, remember Mike Holmgren at the Super Bowl? Isn't that something the coach could do? Well, Dan is running the defense now. So as much as I'd be snarky and say, well, can't the coach handle this? They've done that for time immemorial. They can figure out when to use their timeouts and how to, you know, call a replay and all this. I get it. He's going to be focused on the defense, so let's have a guy come in and do it. It's something that didn't really exist 5 or 6 years ago, and now NFL staffs have guys like this.
So Sutton's a guy with plenty of experience, former head coach at Army. A lot of folks thought he did a really good job, and then they lose that game, and, you know, heads had to roll. People weren't going to blame Andy Reid, and he wasn't going to get got, so they decided to make this move. I think it's a smart play by Coach Quinn. Again, adding more experience, Mike, I think he realizes where he's at.
Right.
When you talk about what's at stake for our future, and now, you know, especially next season, it's not just playoffs or bust. It's deep playoffs or bust to me.
Right.
I mean, you cannot be in Dan Quinn's position and expect to win 7 games and everybody's going to be happy.
And by the way, it's not Sutton's fault that Dee Ford was lined up like almost 3 yards off the sides right. in the neutral zone in that game. I mean, there were some moments where they could have gotten the Patriots off the field. They had the phantom pass, the roughing the passer call that went up against the Chiefs. So, all right, another guy with a lot of experience, as you said, a lifer in the game. And so, well, guess what, Carl? We certainly will have plenty of brain power on the sideline, won't we?
Yeah. What do you guys think? You can always find us on social media, guys. Follow the show on Facebook on 92.9 The Game. Of course, on Twitter. He is Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell 92.9. And follow us on Instagram as well. We had a great weekend. It was cold yesterday. I didn't do jack but sit around and watch TV like most of you. Didn't want to do anything. But you ran into a star over the weekend. You texted me, and I was like, what?
Yeah, Kurt Russell was at CVS. They're making, like, there's so many TV shows and movies being made. So I see a guy, and I recognize him immediately as Snake Plissken, a little bit older, a little grayer, long hair, a little bit longer hair in the beard and everything. And I just echo, Kurt. I go, Mike, I met your friends with Stan Robinson, the father of the Black Crows. We had dinner one night, Goldie. Yeah, he goes, oh, yeah, and he gave a shout-out to Stan. Stan's a guy that I met here in Atlanta. I played rugby for years, and so I got a chance to meet with Kurt and Goldie years ago. So, yeah, that was kind of neat, and it was so cool. Just a great guy, man. Regular Joe, man.
Very cool. Yeah. So, you never know who you're going to run into, man, in the ATL. This is just the truth.
Making TV shows all over and movies right now. There's a bunch of, you know, you can always tell the mobile trailers and everything are down the street right across from SDK.
Yeah.
So something big is getting shot right now somewhere in Midtown, too.
All right, man. What did you watch over the weekend? Don't laugh at me. I watched the Alliance of American Football League.
What?
Now. The reason why I say don't laugh at me is because I had no intentions of watching the Alliance of American Football League. But I found myself not only watching, Mike, but interested and actually being entertained by it. And I did not see Atlanta play. Atlanta loses to Orlando. Old Steve Spurrier's down there. They get beat 40-6. But I got to tell you something. The league looked like it was real football. And right. I think I didn't expect that. I expected it to be this, like, half-blank kind of thing, guys running out. There was no organization kind of – I don't know what I was expecting. It looked good on TV. They had some things behind the scenes that I was digging, like they took you behind the scenes with the referees and the replay calls, NFL. So I was watching, and apparently I wasn't the only one. 3 million folks apparently watched on CBS as those games were broadcast over the weekend. Now, I didn't catch, again – the games on Saturday, I think it was yesterday, Sunday's games I was watching. But either way, I'm just curious, do you have time in your landscape to watch something else? Because we are caught up with Braves getting ready to go to spring training. Atlanta United's getting ready to start, right? We're talking about football and the NFL offseason, and all of a sudden here comes this Alliance of American Football League, and I'm going, I'm not going to watch this. This is pretty good. All of a sudden now I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And apparently I'm not the only one. So I know you probably didn't watch, but I got to share that because as much as I want to poo-poo on it and we clown around with it, I don't know what it's going to be. It could be out of business in 6 months.
Right.
But it was a pretty good first weekend.
I know. A lot of people, and they always get a nice sort of curiosity spike. XFL had monster numbers its first week back in 2000. And, of course, it just completely went down the tubes. But I do think they've got some things that people are interested in. You know, hearing how the official decides what's going on with replay, what he's looking at, what his thought process is, total transparency, something the NFL should be looking at. That's one thing. And again, maybe the NFL will adapt that because just like the technology that the TV network started to use, like the cameras and everything, and now you have like the overhead shot, that all started with some of these summer leagues. So I got to be honest with you. I watched a little bit of Steve Spurrier.
Yeah.
I can't tell if Orlando is just that good or Atlanta is just this bad. We did have coaching changes. Brad Childress got out to go work with Green Bay. So we're just a hot mess right now. They only had a month to get ready for those that follow this. But Spurrier had their thing. They had a lot of team speed. And they were moving. I caught a little bit of Christian Hackenberg. Now, to the flip side to your coin, there's still a lot of bums out there, and they're bums, and you see why they never made it in the NFL, and Hackenberg's one of them. Poor Mike Singletary just started running the ball and didn't even try to pass it. As the Birmingham black and silver guys, I guess the iron, Nice FedEx looking uniforms, by the way, on
Memphis Express.
Yeah, the uniforms are tight. I'll give them some of that. But yeah, there was some good, good, the bad, and the ugly with that first week of this stuff.
Yeah. So listen, I don't know how much time we'll actually spend on it, and I'm not talking about today. I'm just saying, generally speaking, because we don't know what this league is going to be. And Mike and I have had a lot of fun because here's the reality: we've been doing this a long time, and there have been a ton of leagues that have come about in the spring that just haven't lasted, even with big money backing. I mean, we talk about the XFL, and that may have been the closest thing.
Right.
But, you know, NFL Europe, which was backed by the NFL, didn't last. So, I don't know what this is going to be.
I mean, I think everybody just wants the logic behind this has been, we talked about this on Friday's show, everybody wants to just stay afloat, keep their head above water, and then get bought out by the NFL and become their de facto D-League.
Right.
That's what this is going to be. So the only thing I could say about the AFFFF is they've got some things which are interesting and all right. How do you have talent spread out between this and then when the XFL with Vince McMahon comes back? There's not enough, okay? This is still a lot of guys that are just absolute garbage out there. I'm glad they're running around and tackling and this and that. They're not NFL caliber. Now you have another league of this? That's too diluted, isn't it?
I think so, and I think part of this league is going to be just that. Develop players to help hopefully get back to the NFL if they were there. But here's the thing that I found interesting, Mike. You know, watching this game, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I know that name. Oh, I watched him in college. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys that I did recognize, but as you said, they weren't necessarily stars or never made it to the league, but maybe they were big-time college stars that weren't good enough. Either way, that was something that was appealing because it wasn't like I was watching complete strangers and had no idea who the hell I was, you know, watching. That wasn't the case. So either way, guys, if you watched it, let us know what you think of it because a lot of people are saying, you know, they're interested. Listen, we love football. If the football's fun, it's good and entertaining, I think most Americans will watch. I don't care what league it is, and I think that's what they're experiencing at least the first weekend.
It is funny because, like, my wife watched it. She goes, oh, I remember Trent Richardson.
That's right.
Because he was a disaster in the NFL.
It's true. Hey, man, what's up with Darlington Nagbe? We're going to talk about that when we come back on Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. Glad to have you listening on a Monday. Coming up, we'll hit some headlines. Also, NFL Blitz. We got a lot of football news, including Kyler Murray announcing today that he is fully committed to the NFL. And you're going, Dukes, what does that mean? It means he's going to the NFL draft and he's giving up on his baseball dreams, even though he's already been drafted.
Yeah, and he got some money. Remember, bonus, baby, that money will go back to the Oakland A's, and now it's a matter of how well he does in the NFL. It's very important that he does certainly go in the first round to at least make up what he's giving up on the baseball side. And, like, he can always go back to baseball. I'm not sure how that works and how the A's have his rights if he does come back later. I'm not sure how that flips. But anyway, he's going to give a shot with the oblong spheroid, and then maybe later on he'll get back to baseball.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are concerned. Pete Prisco, friend of the show, tweeted out, can't wait to study him. He says, I know he's got a big arm. I'm just wondering how big he is. And I replied to Pete, does it matter if he can play? And people say, yes, it does. There's a reason why you don't see 5'8 guys playing quarterback in the NFL.
Well, 5'8, 170. That's
right.
The thing. I mean,
That's right. You
can be smaller, I mean, of size, but you got to be able to take a hit. And that's where we're just waiting to see, because even RG3, who's much bigger, is a slight frame. And he
light
got
frame.
Whammied a lot when he was playing for the Skins.
Yeah, I think RG was 6'2 and a half or whatever. But you're right. So we'll see, man, where it goes. He's says he's committed to being the best quarterback coming out in this draft. And he's got an opportunity to prove that here at the Combine and obviously in his individual workouts. Remember last year, everybody did not think Baker Mayfield, except this show, was going to go number one overall.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up going number one overall. In the next 3 to 4 weeks, we're going to find out a lot about Kyler Murray. The game tape speaks for itself. But once you start hearing about these one-on-one workouts and really can he make every throw in the National Football League, that'll change the minds of some scouts.
Well, the thing is, whether it's Murray or Haskins out of Ohio State, we already got Stephen A. Smith's misguided take on that last week. But Haskins, you only had one full season. That's the thing. Is that, if you're an NFL personnel guy, do you have enough of the body of work? Both guys put up ridiculous numbers, but only 1 year doing it. I mean, is that a concern? Or you say, because nowadays, if you're really that good, you're coming out by your junior year anyway.
Right.
But if you are, you know, looking for, you know, if you want to shoot some holes into the argument for Kyler Murray, only did it for 1 year.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, Baker was a transfer there. Kyler was a transfer there. I think you wait your turn and you got to shine when you get the opportunity.
Right.
Kid wins a Heisman 1 year in, and he wins the Heisman the year after the guy that left won.
Yeah, I mean, I'm playing devil's advocate. I think the guy can play. I think he's going to be fine. But again, you got to be in the right system. You know, if you're a Kyler Murray and you go to a team that has no offensive line,
you're done.
Exactly.
You're done.
Period.
Yeah, you're running for your life, and I don't care. You know, Deshaun Watson had to run and create a lot of plays this year. So did Russell Wilson.
Right.
So it's just kind of what it is. We'll talk more about that in our NFL Blitz. Before we get to the headlines, and it's part of the headlines today, what's up with Darlington Nagbe, man? What's the deal?
Apparently he wants to go play for his old coach who's at Columbus with the Columbus Crew, and we didn't really see this one coming. But the good news, if there is good news, is we've got guys, I guess, that could cover what he does. But, I mean, look, he was injured. We missed out for a bunch of the season. But then you saw when we made the playoff run how important he is. You know, it's almost like shin bone connected to the knee bone. You got to get from the goalie to the other to the other net. And Nagbe was great in basically, you know, sort of facilitating, getting things cooking. And he is a de facto point guard, if you will. Then the guys take it from there. So I'm not sure how he fits, or does he not fit to Frank DeBoer's system, and that's part of what's driving him to want to be out of Atlanta. But now it's just a matter of how and when they oblige him. I've seen some stories where we'd hold on to him for a few more months.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't want to be here, he don't want to be here.
I love his versatility, which was a huge reason why we went out and got him in the first place in so many areas. Mike, he can play different styles, right? That was the beauty of his game. It didn't matter what you necessarily wanted to do, and I think Tata used him in that way. So now, again, don't know if that's the case or is this simply him wanting out and basically trying to make more money somewhere else. The reality of our team right now, and this we're talking about Atlanta United, guys, is that we're very young and we're very talented. As much as I like having Nagbe, and I think his experience is invaluable and he helped us get to the cup last year, mm-hmm. if we end up losing him, someone asked me about Chris McCann, and I said, this is a situation where we're so young at all these positions and talented. I like Chris McCann, too, but I'm okay with what they did with Chris McCann.
An older guy, I mean, by our team standards. And, again, thanks for your service, and he'll land somewhere else. But it's just we've got so much talent and so much young talent, to your point, that, I mean, you can move on and not feel so bad about that, to be quite honest with you.
We've been talking about this depth on our team for a while, and I think you're starting to see that play out. First of all, you can't keep everybody. But secondly, if the cream is rising to the top, and just like with any sport, guys, if I can replace you for a guy that makes less money than you, right. Okay, and can do a similar or better job than you, then that's good management. That's not a bad thing. I just was hoping, Mike, with the Darlington Nagbe situation, that it was a contingency. That it was, you know, I've heard take a couple of days for yourself. I just hope the team and him are not, you know, fussing back and forth. If he wants out and they can oblige, fine, so be it. But who's ever going to get him, it's going to cost him.
Right. And the other thing is, you know, we've got so much depth. I mean, think about this. We got Tito Villalba, who would start for any other team, you know, in South America or North America. And we got him coming off the bench for much of the season last year. Barco coming to his own. And just to wrap up the Atlanta United conversation for a second, I got a chance to watch some of the video that came out of the scrimmage against LAFC. PT Martinez is going to be better than Miggy Almiron. And this is not a knock at Miggy. I had some guys coming at me yesterday on Twitter. It's Miggy is great, and we're excited to see him. He's going to probably start, I think it's tonight or today at Newcastle or tomorrow. We'll find out. But this guy, PT Martinez, is electrifying. And he's he's more complete. He's got a little more confidence. Miggy had the confidence, really came into his own in the second half of this last year. PT comes with it with swag, in bunches. And if you didn't see the free kick he took, unbelievable. Just another highlight reel. Again, it's a make-believe game. It's a scrimmage, but you see the excellence.
Yeah, he is the South American player of the year.
Hello.
That speaks for itself.
And as I said, Carl, it's not a shot on Miggy.
No.
Miggy's awesome, but this guy's even better.
All right. And that's good news for us. So we will keep our eyes and ears open, guys. You know no one talks more Atlanta United than we do. And as soon as we know something, if something is to happen, we will let you guys know. We are scheduled to have Darren Eales tomorrow on our program as normal. So hopefully we can get the president of our Atlanta United and his thoughts on this whole situation with Darlington Nagbe and really start to talk about this season getting ready to start with the Champions League. With that, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
What, you thought I was going to stress my voice? I'm not doing that.
No, you got to save your punch. How you feeling, man? You feeling better?
Yeah, I told Bo, man. This finally started to kick over the weekend, but it's still, and you probably can hear it, it's right here in my nose.
Right.
But at least my voice is halfway decent, so I can deal with that. But, yeah, I think, you know, another 48 hours, man, and I should be probably finally 100%, whatever.
Let's hit some headlines.
Thank you, Randy. I'm glad you said that. Hey, with that, guys, let's talk about UGA, Mike. They land the number one recruit in the country. Kid's name is Anthony Edwards. He can play, and he's from right here in Atlanta. The decision came down this morning. I tweeted it out. It put him up C. Dukes probably about, I don't know, 30 minutes before, saying I hope he chooses Tom Crean in Georgia because it was just going to be a huge get. Now, I know Georgia fans, it is all about dog football, and I get that. But why can't it be about dog basketball? And more importantly, this is the kind of recruit, Mike, that could open the floodgates for other guys to come if Crean is able to do a good job with him. A lot of people think he's one and done.
Right.
And that's fine. That's the age we're in, right?
Just get the most out of him while you got him.
So who's to say that Georgia doesn't make a deep tournament run next year? And we'll talk more about this a little bit later. But I was telling, you know, some folks in the bullpen, Derrick Rose was a one and done. You know, Kevin Durant, Melo, all these guys that went to school and had terrific one-year runs with wherever they went, won a bunch of games, took their teams to tournaments. Melo, hell, he won the championship and left college. I just think that you never know until you get into this situation. So congratulations to Tom Crean and UGA basketball.
So, look, I know a lot of guys immediately go, how did Georgia get him? I don't know. They did a nice job. That's why Crean was bought here, okay, because he brought the guys like Dwayne Wade, to your point, into the league. So
Victor Oladipo.
If you want to see, you know, why they're spending money on Tom Crean, this is why he's supposed to do this. Now, I didn't really understand Tom Crean's comments earlier in the week. Seth Emerson had it where he's saying, yeah, I know, I didn't really expect some of these guys to stick around, and we're trying to get through it. Because this year's awful for Georgia. But next year, again, big change. Yeah, Florida State had him on the hook. Kentucky was definitely in the mix, but he takes Georgia. That's what this is. If you're going to turn things around with this program, let's be honest, Georgia basketball means less than zero to most people in this town. This is how you do it.
This is how you do it. So we'll see where it goes, but Anthony Edwards making his decision today. As far as hoops talk, Hawks lose to the Magic yesterday, 124-108. They will play the Lakers and LeBron tomorrow. Lloyd Pierce talking about, it's kind of been a lull after the deadline, and, of course, the All-Star break is right ahead.
Has nothing to do with numbers, play call, schemes, coverage. It's just our approach. It's our mentality. This is the scary part, you know, after the trade deadline and then going into All-Star break and try and get it ahead of the story by understanding that this is what happens. Everyone just hits a lull.
And now Jeremy Lin, they're going to buy out his deal. He's going to wind up in Toronto. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, Lin has been bought out. He will sign with Toronto. You're going, wait a minute, why did they do that?
They couldn't trade him.
Correct. And so,
well, they tried. They probably tried to trade Jeremy. They couldn't get anything for him, what they were looking for, right?
It's a good place for him to land up. He's going to go to playoffs, playing with Kawhi Leonard. He's not going to be asked to come in there and average 30 a game. He was doing a nice job for us, by the way.
Yeah, and certainly, guys, I know the team has won more games than we thought we were supposed to. Now there's all sorts of chances for DNPs and letting the guys rest and getting back down to Zion because, holy cow, if there were Hawks fans who were not on our page about getting to Zion – to see him basically cover 20 feet in a second and put that block on DeAndre Hunter as Duke takes down UVA.
Pass inside for Huff to the opposite corner, and Hunter blocked by Zion!
I mean, I literally asked, I was like, do you believe now, Trinity? I mean, it was right out of the Matrix.
It really was.
We must get to Zion. And now almost everybody out there in Hawk Nation realizes, unfortunately, we're probably going to wind up with a guy who he blocked a shot of DeAndre Hunter. Or maybe you and I were talking about Jared Culver. There's a lot of mock drafts where, needless to say, Zion ain't going to be there at five.
I want him because, and I've said this all along, I know people are like, he won't be this, he won't be that. He's an attraction. He is a show. And because of that, it would bring more interest to our Hawks. The reality is where we currently are in the standings, we're not going to get him. As you guys have seen, he might have started as a third top prospect coming into the season. He's now number one. Dude's leading SportsCenter. He's all over the highlight packages. There is a buzz about what Zion is going to be in the NBA, and that's the reason why I've always said we must get to Zion. Either
he
way.
He tries. Leave it to Zion. Hammer time! Yep. Oh, he rocks the rim in the paint!
Yes, he does.
So, man, it's a little frustrating that we did win as much as we have because we are really locked in, and we talked about this last week. Long way to lose to get down to those bottom three spots, Carl. Right now, the Knicks, if you're a Knicks fan, and everybody wants to be a conspiracy theorist to go, oh, they're going to put Zion in the garden and pump some life into the Knicks, which have been dying on the vine now for over 6 years. Yeah, I can see that. You know, I can totally see that.
Well, you know what, though? The Knicks being relevant helps the NBA. It does. And I don't want the Knicks to be good. They're a mess, but that's a way to make the Knicks relevant quickly. Other headline news, Mike. William Byron wins the pole position for Daytona. Daytona 500 this weekend.
Yeah, Hendrick cars are really dialed in. Their restricted play program is ready to rock. And Phil Mickelson wins his fifth Pebble. Now, don't forget, the U.S. Open will be back in June at Pebble Beach. But the Pro-Am, fifth time that Phil Mickelson's done it. It was really funny if you didn't see it last night. It's pitch black at Pebble. He wants to keep playing because he's got a three-stroke lead on Paul Casey. Casey's like, no, let's come back tomorrow. And Mickelson's working the officials. No, I can still see. Anyway, Phil does get the job done today. He birdies 18.
Hey, when we come back, you got room in your schedule for another football league? You're listening to Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com, Terry.
As we are ready,
Bingo's
opening hot. Play, San Antonio on Whitside from the gun to get the party started, and it is caught. That's Mikhail McKay, who everyone on the San Antonio coaching staff, guys, has been talking about, a pickup of 22 to get it going.
The Commanders, Mike, they beat the Fleet 15-6. That was the first play that got things started in the Alliance of American Football League.
I believe it was the Fleet's quarterback whose helmet came off along with his head practically on a big hit by one of their linebackers, if you didn't see it. So, they, as we said, whenever these new leagues start, they get a nice bounce, and we'll see if people do come back for week two because, you know, we're talking about it as much as, you know, we were pooping on it. I watched it. I watched a little bit of it over the weekend.
I did too. And that's why I said don't laugh at me because – again, here's the thing, and I always talk about this. Once the Super Bowl is done, we go through withdrawals, at least football fans for the most part. And, you know, there was like a – I heard a Fox theme just randomly. Mm-hmm. And I was like, football. And it wasn't. It was a commercial. And I'm like, okay, that's how I feel after the Super Bowl is done. So I found myself saying, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to check it out. And I watched a little bit of it. I don't know if you did. And we said, I don't know what this league is going to be, but Birmingham, the Iron, Mike, beat Memphis 26-0. Then you had the Hotshots of Arizona beat Salt Lake City. The Stallions lost 38-22. Right. And then, of course, Atlanta. The Atlanta Legends lose. And they only score 6 points to Steve Spurrier's Apollo team, which is the Orlando Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, where's this going to fit? Are you going to pay attention to it? And I don't know if you will give it priority when you talk about sports. And if I was to ask you right now, give me what you'll be watching a month from now in order. I got to tell you, it would probably be, in depending on the day, because, again, it really does. Mm-hmm. Braves play every day, but it's Braves United. United Braves.
Right.
Braves United. That's where I'm at. Then from there, you throw in other things like, hey, golf is back. Okay, so when occasionally I want to pay attention, I'll be watching golf. When are you going to give Alliance of American Football your time? Because that's what we're talking about here, even though we all love football.
Mm. I mean, like I said, I was watching. There's nothing else going on. I mean, in college basketball, it just doesn't carry.
Oh, yeah,
carry,
that too.
And college basketball, let's be honest, doesn't care unless you're hardcore like Deshaun, our intrepid college hoops writer, and you can read some great blogs about what's going on and how the draft future of the Hawks will play out. Because, I mean, that's the one reason I think Hawks fans, you're watching a little college basketball, you're watching Zion, you're watching R.J. Barrett, you're watching these guys every time they're on, you know, because you may get a piece of that, you know, if we can keep losing. But, yeah, college hoops, though, you don't have the guys sticking around other than the mid-majors for the 3 years like they used to. So it's not the same brand. Now, you follow the brands of, you know, North Carolina, Kentucky. You know, ACC's got an outside shot to maybe get to a couple of number one seeds. But I'm with you, brother. For me, number one priority is United, then it's the Braves. I'm a big golf guy. I'm a big racing fan. I love Formula One. So once that kicks off in March, I'm glued to the TV every 2 weeks on that.
So Formula One would be over this, even though.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't, honestly, I would not pay to see this football.
Yeah.
But if I'm on the couch and I'm flipping around and somebody's knocking somebody's block off, I'm going
to
watch it.
All right. Because, yeah, see, that's what I'm asking. It's one thing to say, yeah, I watched it. It was pretty good. All right. So a month from now, as things get going and your life changes a little bit away from the National Football League and your favorite college football team, which is what, August through December. This is a little different. And so, you know, how much time would you invest? Right. One thing I do want to see the NFL do, Mike, is maybe pick up and apply some of the things that we're going to see not only in the Alliance of American Football League, but also maybe in the XFL when it kicks off. Take on some of these things that we've talked about. Like, hey, full disclosure, can I hear what's going on with these referees?
The ball hits the ground. I'm going to let this stand.
Terry Valenti, the replay
official.
He's
rolling on the ground. He's using the ground to keep it in there. The ground helps them. We're going to let it stand.
See, that's it. And the NFL in a million years wouldn't let you do that because you'll see just how incompetent the NFL referees are, Carl. How you think it should be streamlined and easy, and how convoluted and ridiculous it is when NFL officials try to figure this out. That's my fear.
No. I like the idea.
Love to hear it. I love transparency, so that way we don't. How did you screw up this call? I'd like to hear the thought process.
So will the NFL do this? I don't know. But these are the little nuances that they're doing to make the game a little bit more interesting. You know, a guy got his head blown up, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
No flag. No roughing, no nothing. That's, well, you know, that's just what
you see,
it was.
You see Heinz Ward, because he's like the, what is he, the Goodwill ambassador slash commish, whatever he is. But, and now to place the ball at the 25, Heinz Ward. It's not as exciting as a kickoff. Now, again, this is also part of what the NFL wants to get to, because in a ridiculous attempt to, you know, make the game safer, we're going to take away exciting plays, yeah, and kickoff, and the chance to 1 in 100 you're going to see a kick return go for a score. So, yeah, that's what they do in the AAF, whatever it's called, the Federation of Football.
Yeah, no, Alliance of American Football.
Ball just, it started, you start the drive 20. So there's no kickoff. So no. That's one element we don't get in this.
Yeah, and you're right. Eventually, I've said, the NFL will get there. We're not there yet. I also think, though, late in games, you take away the idea. Now, see, here's the thing. You don't start the game with a kickoff, but kickoffs can still happen because you still need a chance to have onside kicks to recover the ball at the end of a game if you want the ball back. I don't think you can completely take it out of the game, but either way. So you guys can hit us up, man. We want to know what you're thinking about this. And as we said, we paid a little bit of attention to it, and it got us talking last week about it and who was going to watch. Well, obviously, a lot of Americans did pay attention to it. I'm going to tell you what a lot of Americans are going to be paying attention to, Mike, and this is going to lead us to our NFL Blitz coming up here in about 10 minutes. How is it that a guy who made a statement that was universally disliked, okay, for various reasons, in my opinion, very misunderstood, but either way, he has yet to find his way back into the NFL. He didn't beat a woman. He didn't kick a woman. He didn't beat up a woman in an elevator. Okay? But Colin Kaepernick has yet to find his way back to the NFL. Today we find that running back Kareem Hunt has been signed to a one-year deal by the Cleveland Browns.
The city where the event occurred, by the way, where he's in a hotel room late night, where you've all seen the video by now. And the general manager, John Dorsey, he picked him up when he was at Kansas City. So there is some familiarity there. But look, we've tried, and I think if you listen to our show, guys, we try to stay in our lane. And when we talk about Colin Kaepernick, people immediately go to their corner and just try to listen to what we're saying. I don't really understand where Colin's coming from, but I've never had to walk a mile in his shoes. I know there's a lot of things in this country that need fixing. But I want to hear where he's coming from and try to take it. Why is he doing that? I'd like to know what's going on there. And when you go look at the grand scheme of things between guys with DUIs and drug charges and weapons charges, and they get second chances, but a guy who's just exercising his right. Now, again, free speech ain't free. You know, you have an opinion about it. You can make that known. But the idea that he can't get a job when you see some absolute garbage at backup quarterback around the league is mind-blowing.
Yeah, what Colin Kaepernick did, though, wasn't against the law either.
No.
As a matter of fact, it wasn't even in the bylaws. People didn't start paying attention to what guys could and couldn't do. Oh, are they supposed to stand? Well, aren't they? You didn't even care until that happened. And it wasn't breaking the law. So it's completely different from that standpoint, Mike, but you're absolutely right. And we only bring this up because one of our followers on Twitter said to us, how do you guys explain this? We can't. I don't know how to explain it. I tweeted out over the weekend a police officer berating a black man who was holding a child in his hands. And if you hadn't seen it, it's out there. And they go on and on and on. And this viral video's out there. And it's just another example of things that Colin Kaepernick was trying to speak out to. Even with that said, Mike, do you have a problem with Kareem Hunt being back in the league? Because how does the NFL explain that to people when you have this looming over their head?
Well, that's just it. This goes back to Roger Goodell. Like, he's the lightning rod, and as long as he takes the heat for the owners, he'll always be in position there as commissioner. He's making a ton of money because the league's making a ton of money. But how bad does this look? You got a guy. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no interpreting the video, right? I mean, you saw what you saw, and this dude's going to be able to play this year? I mean, what are you going to do, suspend him for a year and he's going to appeal it down to 8? I mean, it makes the NFL look a bigger bunch of hypocrites than we already thought they were.
Yeah, and I just think when Roger Goodell came out, you remember the whole Ray Rice thing when they came out and they talked about the initiatives and what they wanted to stand for and right.
He was 27 to be 28, never played again in the NFL, Ray Rice. And, you know, look, I'm not going to sit here and try to say, well, that was worse than that attack on another woman. But either way, it's unacceptable behavior. And the NFL's going to sign off on this? I mean, isn't Goodell now going to have to suspend him for a year and make this a moot point because the Browns just signed him to a one-year deal? How do you handle this PR, you know, grenade?
To Bo Morgan, our producer, his comment was he goes straight to the commissioner's, you know, list, which is true. How long? That's the question.
Right.
How long? So, you know, for the Browns, here's where I think, you know, this is a smart play. Just from a football standpoint, all right, Kareem Hunt's a playmaker, guys. He's electric. The Kansas City Chiefs lost a little bit of something when they lost him, but they had no choice. Their hand was forced. But the Browns have already said, all right, we'll take him. Ball's in your court, commish.
Right.
Now we'll just sit back and wait. Because you know what? We're developing our team. And even if Kareem Hunt has to sit out, even if he has to sit out half the season, that's okay with us. So they are in a really good spot from a football position because they didn't have Kareem Hunt. They probably didn't think they would have an opportunity to have a player like this. They're just going to sit back and see how it plays and unfolds.
Right.
As far as the league is concerned, Mike, to me, this is the lack of leadership again for Roger Goodell because this gets back to one situation and how it's played,
right.
And then you see something like this. And I think it's a fair question. It's not about race or anything else. It's simply about how the NFL handles these situations when they come about.
Right. Reed just signed a deal. Eric Reed was signed with the Carolina, right?
He
was also a guy that took a knee, got a 3-year deal with the Panthers. And I get it. I mean, it's very strange. The optics are awful for the NFL, but I don't think the average NFL fan listening gives a crap. They just want their football. They don't want anything like that we just talked about to infringe on their Sunday afternoons.
It does.
Hey, you can win a pair of Elton John tickets. Elton John, man, is coming to State Farm Arena November 1st and 2nd. All you need to do is listen for our sounder and be the first caller at some point between now and 7 o'clock, and you will have a chance to see Elton John in concert. His farewell Yellow Brick Road Tour, guys. We've got tickets before they go on sale Friday at Ticketmaster.com. Stay tuned to Dukes and Bell. NFL Blitz is next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.